I'm not in the book today per se. I just want to introduce this idea of seeds and share for just a few moments. And my heart is that today's message is going to be shorter so that you have plenty of time to visit the tables and to get a book and to connect with others. I want to read a few verses of scripture from Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, beginning at verse 6. Then he told this parable, speaking of Jesus. The following words are going to be in red. He said, a man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Just hold that in place. If you got your Bible with you, we'll weave our way in and out of this text. But this is a parable that Jesus told. Jesus used parables. Parables are stories. Some of the stories are based upon real characters. And Jesus is telling it, kind of like when I go out and preach in other churches, I change the names, but I tell y'all stories all over the country, you know, and I change enough of the details that it becomes a parable. I'm using a story as an example, and some of them are created or made up to example a point that Jesus is wanting to make, and in this point that Jesus is making, the man who came looking for fruit is the Lord. He is the owner of the vineyard. He is the owner of all things. Everything belongs to the Lord. The gardener, the man in charge of taking care of the vineyard, is you and die. And the tree represents our lives. It represents the areas that we are supposed to be productive in. As the owner of everything, the Lord has an expectation for his creation. Now listen fast, because I'm going to preach fast today, and I don't want you to miss this. He's the owner of everything, and he has an expectation for his creation. He has an expectation that things that he has created, the things that he owns, the things that are submitted to him, are going to produce. And he says, I have this tree, and every time I check this tree, there is no fruit on it. I've come for 3 years, and I've checked this tree, and there is no fruit growing on this tree. He has an expectation. What is being produced? Who is producing? Is my life bearing fruit? Those are tough questions. You know why they're tough questions? They're tough questions because those questions admit that you and I have a responsibility in the process. If we want our lives to go a certain way, if we have this vision, if we have this dream, if we have this plan for our lives. We don't wait, we work. If we have a dream for our marriage, if we have a dream for our family, if we have goals for our money, we pray about it and we work at it. If there's something we're wanting, if there's something that we desire, we understand that we play a massive role in the process. You and I play a part in our own success. It's a big part. Is that fair? Everybody tracking with me today? I know that's countercultural to modern thinking that permits us to blame everyone else. The reason we don't have this is because of that person. The reason I'm not further along is because of them. The reason this hasn't happened is because of that setback or that circumstance. And he said in the story, this owner of the vineyard, I've come looking for fruit for 3 years. And on one hand, we see the patience of the Lord. He is long-suffering. That is in his nature. That is one of his attributes. It incidentally is a fruit of the Spirit also, long-suffering. There is patience, and we're supposed to be taking on that fruit, bearing that fruit in our lives. So we see the patience of the Lord in this story. For 3 years, I haven't fussed, I haven't chastised, I haven't cut anything, I haven't corrected, I've just been waiting patiently for you to get it together. I've just been observing. I've just been keeping an eye out, just waiting for things to change, waiting for things to turn. I feel like I need to pause and just ask, is there anybody thankful that the Lord has been patient with you? Is anybody thankful for the long suffering of the Lord? I am thankful that the Lord has been kind and patient and has waited on me. And still there are others. You may know that you're not where you need to be. You may know that today. You may know that you are not where you need to be with the Lord. And your prayer today is, Lord, wait. Hold on, because I'm trying to get it together. But I would be remiss to teach this text today and not tell you that the patience of the Lord has limits. Turns out there is a time clock on the long suffering of the Lord. In fact, he tells the gardener, it's time to cut this tree down. I've been coming for 3 years, and I finally had enough. We got to do something about this because it is taking up soil. This tree, whether it's being obstinate or stubborn or whatever its reason, it's taking up ground that I could be using for something else. Here's the challenge. The challenge is that no one knows when he will call it due. No one knows. And I know that's tough, but it's my job to tell you the truth. That's why I want to get you in a group. That's why I want to help you get connected. That's why I want to help you work on you and help me work on me and all of us. Work together with one another, iron sharpening iron, and all of us growing together and producing and yielding and seeing God do great things in our lives. Listen, small groups are not about taking up your valuable time. It's about building your life. It's about building your life better and stronger Because when the Lord comes to check on me, I want to see him smile. When the Lord comes to check on my life, I want him to walk by and say, all right, I see you. I see you working. I see you faithful. I see you doing your best. I want to incur the favor of the Lord on my life. And you say, Pastor, I just don't know if I can think about it that way, because I'm never going to be good enough, and I'm never going to be holy enough, and I'm never going to be righteous enough. Good. I hope you've come to that realization that you're never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be good enough, but I can be confident in this one thing, that the one he's begun a good work in, he's going to be faithful and he's going to be just. And if I'll just keep putting one foot in front of the other, it's not about perfection, it's about progress. It's not about perfect. It's about doing our best every single day. Is anybody hearing me in this house? This is what seeds is all about. What am I wanting for my life? Whatever it is I desire for my life, it begins now. It begins today. Tomorrow starts today. Whatever I'm dreaming about, whatever I have visions of, whatever I desire, it starts today. You say, Pastor Dale, it can't start today because I can't afford it. No, whatever you dream about, it starts today. See, you're waiting until you have all of the money instead of some of the money. You're waiting until you have it all together instead of just having some of it together. And the devil is tricking you into delaying God's promise on your life. And if he can get you to delay, he can come up with another scheme and another fiery dart and another trick and another challenge. That, guess what? That challenge will just delay you even further. And before you know it, it's not been 3 years since you produced. It's been 5 years or 10 years. Or you're looking at 62 wondering why you haven't started all of this in your life. Listen, tomorrow starts today. Whatever you're wanting, I feel like preaching in this house. Whatever you're desiring from the Lord, it begins today. But you got to know something about seeds. You're going to see these at the end of the service, but got a little seed packet. What kind of seeds are in here, PK? What are these seeds? Sunflower seeds. All right. Hope you like sunflowers. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sunflower seeds. Does anybody see a big, round, bright, yellow? I just saw my first red sunflower, orange sunflower recently. I'd never seen one of those before. I assumed the florist maybe spray painted it. No, it sent me to Google. There is a real thing. I don't know if there's any red ones or orange ones or rust-colored ones in this pouch. But when I hold up this pouch, does anybody see the flower? Some of you are real spiritual. You see the flower. Thank God for you. Pray for the rest of us. Because the rest of us just see a little brown pouch. Looks like them little dime bag pouting. Anyway. Sorry. Some of us just see a pouch and a seed. We don't see the end result. We don't see what could be. We don't see the potential of what is in this pouch. And that's the first thing I need you to know about seeds today. The seed has potential. What is in this pouch has the potential to become a bouquet of sunflowers. But it will not happen until the seed is planted. It will not happen until the potential of the seed is released and until something is done with it. But there's potential in this pouch because seeds are potential. They're potential even if they have not been planted. Seeds are potential whether you access the potential or not. So when you feel the presence of the Lord, that is a seed. That is potential. You're deciding whether or not you're going to access that potential for your life. I'm praying that the great majority of you today, during that time of worship today, you were getting filled up and tanked up and just getting strength from that. I had a rental car last week, and it was one of these hybrid, and it had the gauge, and when you were on the gas, you know, it would tell you that the car was not charging, and when you were trying to go 60 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour, or that one time I think I hit 90 miles an hour. Anyway, the car was not charging, but if you let off the gas and let it idle down, it would get down to a certain set of RPMs, and then everything would light up and it would tell you that it was charging. And it's amazing that I found myself not wanting to go fast because I kept wanting to charge more. I kept wanting to bank the potential. I was trying to figure out how I could get more charge so that it could help me later, so that it could make a difference later on in the process. Seeds are potential, and you got to decide whether or not you're going to access the potential. This small group semester is potential. You're going to decide today whether or not you want to access the potential, because you are a seed. Your dreams, your desires for whatever it is. And what's amazing to me is that seeds can lie dormant for years. And then, once they are planted, boom, they start producing in all of their glory. We have no idea how old these seeds are. They may be years old. But once they're planted, everything that's housed inside that shell is going to produce, and a sunflower is going to be born. And somebody may say, well, that's good to know. It's good to know. It's good to know that my potential can lie dormant, because that means I can just wait, and then when I'm good and ready, then I'll make a decision, get planted, and my life will grow. As long as you're not on that American Airlines flight. I'm not willing to take that gamble. You feel it shift in this room. Because when it gets real, when it gets real, that wait a minute, no. Because I know that's not your heart. It's not your heart to delay or to wait or to stall. It's your heart to say, Lord, I want to be planted so that my life can produce, because no one in this room wants to be miserable. You may be miserable and can't figure out a way out of miserable, but no one wants to be miserable. No one in this room is wanting to be down or depressed or struggling or having issue in your life. You may, that may be your reality. You may be feeling all of it. But nobody wants that. You just can't figure out how to get out of it. And that's why we want to help you get out of it. I know your heart is not to delay. Your heart says, hey, I want to be planted, because you want more. And deep down, there is a desire for more. But let me give you the second truth about seeds. The seed requires time to reach its potential. You can't rush it. You're going to see out in the lobby today, maybe you've already perused, and there's a number of seeds planted. They're all labeled. You can check it out. I've heard PK the last few days, because she planted those, I don't know, a week or so ago. and frustrated. Why is this not producing? Why is this not sprouting yet? She was trying to predict, pick stuff that was going to sprout quick so that you could see the evidence of it immediately. But that's what happens. We plant something and we're ready for immediate benefit, reward, and response. We do one good deed around the house and just frustrated that our spouse is saying, well, let's see if you can do another one. Let's watch that a while and see how good you can be. We give one time and can't figure out why they haven't knocked on our office door giving us the whole company. The seed requires time to reach its potential. You can't rush it. You can't microwave spiritual growth and maturity. We can literally make a cheeseburger in 30 seconds. But who would want it? If you happen to like those, God bless you. I've graduated. So if I can't microwave spiritual growth and maturity, but hear me, you also can't leave the seeds in the package and expect to get the fragrant, beautiful bouquet by just sitting that on the desk. We're going to give all of you one of these, and you can take that home and set it on your kitchen counter and just, that is so beautiful. Look how lovely that is. No, this thing is going to get thrown away and discarded and tossed about and up under some mail, and it's going to be lost. But if it's planted and cultivated and watered and treated and loved and talked to, talk to your plants this week. They say it works. I don't know. I think it's a bunch of craziness, but whatever it takes, we'll talk. Because we want it to grow, and we know the seed requires time. If I want this or that, but I'm not willing to do what it takes to get this or that, the old adage is that if you only do what you've always done, you'll only get what you've always had. So I've got to plant some seeds. I've got to produce some fruit. Here's my question. Are you waiting on God, or is God waiting on you? I was reading this week about seeds, and fascinating. In Norway, there was something known as the Svalbard. I'm not saying that correctly, but the Svalbard Seed Vault. You can look this up after. Don't do it right now. S-V-A-L-B-A-R-D. Svalbard Seed Bank. But in this vault, I think, yeah, scrolling pictures of, there are over 1.2 million kinds of seeds in this vault. The idea is that if there were some crazy, cataclysmic event that took place, they would be able to, from this vault and from these seeds, they'd be able to restore the food supply of every nation on earth. Because every nation, every part of the world has seed in this vault. Things that are unique to their region and their climate and their environment and their soil and their likes and dislikes and taste. And you saw the pictures. It's this kind of scary end of the world looking place. But it was interesting to read from the Time magazine article where a lady named Haggah, she's one of the people who runs the seed vault, she said not too many people think about crop diversity as being so fundamentally important, but it is. It's almost as important as water and air. She went on to say, seeds generally are the basis for everything. Not only what we eat, but what we wear. The nature all about us. And then there was this line from the Smithsonian magazine where the executive director said, it's never been more important to prioritize safeguarding these tiny seeds that hold so much potential to adapt our future food to such global threats. Planning for disaster, planning for cataclysmic things that could happen. But those words jumped out to me when I read them. Prioritize, safeguard. Tiny seeds that hold so much potential. I think those words are really relevant to what we're going to be talking about the next several weeks on Sundays and in small groups. So Jesus said, cut it. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. Lord, if you just give me 2025, first Sunday of the second month, got 11 months in front of us. Give me one more year. Here's what I'm gonna do. I got a plan. I'm gonna dig around it. I'm gonna fertilize it. Let me focus on this, Lord. Let me do this. And here's the deal. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then I understand. Got to be cut down. And if it's true that the gardener responsible for the fruit on this tree is you and I, and I believe it is, then his desire is evident. Your desire is evident today. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You're at church because you want better for your life and you want more from God, and you reaching again. Somebody may not know how to get there. You may not know how to put it all together. You may not know exactly how to figure it all out, but you're here. Your desire is evident. And he says, Lord, can I just have one more year? I know you've passed by my life and you've been a little disappointed that I'm not producing and I'm not where I should be and where I ought to be and all the plans you had for my life. And I know there's been disappointments, and I could tell you about all the challenges, and I could tell you about this storm that came through 2 years ago and bent me over so bad that I almost broke in two. And I could tell you about the divorce that happened last year. I could tell you about the bankruptcy. I tried everything. I was juggling and running, and I was trying to get it all together, but it happened. And then mom died. And then there was that mistake I made, and I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. I could make all kinds of excuses as to why my life has not produced. But here's the deal, Lord. I need this year. I need 2025. I need the next 11 months. I need this year because I'm feeling some momentum in my life. I don't know what it is about 2025. I know there's all kind of stuff swirling and people are talking all kind of crazy, but Lord, down deep, I feel like I've got my mojo back. I'm ready. I need this year. I got a plan, Lord. I got a plan to dig around my life and to turn that soil over. And I got a plan to deal with these weeds that are choking out my life. I'm fertilizing with worship and the word. Can we do that again next Sunday? Can we just worship like that again? Just free and full. And I got a plan. Because I'm watering and I'm getting this word. I'm taking these notes. I want you to do something in my life. Seeds, ladies and gentlemen, they have potential and they need time. 2025 will be my best year. And I believe 2025 will be your best year. Why? Because I'm planting seeds. Planting seeds. I'm going to pray for you today, and then if you need to give your life to Jesus, we've got time for that. But the altar today is going to be an opportunity to go to the lobby and sign up for a small group. I know you're busy. I know life is coming at you from every direction. I know. Saturday morning's the only time I have, and I'm not a senior. I bet they'd let you come. And they're a lot of fun. And they've always got food. I'd love for men. I love the men of this house. I'd love for men to get in this group. We're gonna talk. We're gonna use our emotion. Probably. Don't be scared. You're a seed. You've got potential. Father, pray today for every seed in this room. I pray today for the potential watching online in this room, from stage to sound booth, everywhere, all over this campus. We need this year. I need this year. I need this time, Lord, to just get it together. And I need your grace and your mercy and your help. My family, my marriage, my teenagers, my finances. We need this year. Plant, to water, to harvest.